Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Former Titans head coach, former Rams head coach, sits down with us at our broadcast site here at Legends. Great to see you again.
It's good to see you guys
as well.
Like
a regular. Hutton had a great idea.
Regular.
We sat down with you in December, and then you came to our sports fest, late winter?
It's interesting. Yeah. It's the only reason I come into town is just to do stuff with you guys.
Yeah, it's really appreciate it. So we thought in this one segment we'd go right to one of your fields of expertise, because you were heavily involved with the competition committee and knew the rule book inside and out, and ask you about some of the new stuff that's going on right now, starting with, maybe, is this the last year potentially we're going to see a kickoff in the NFL?
I think it's a little soon to say that. For the listeners, when they passed the rule, I thought to myself, okay, here's what we're doing. Okay, visualize a corner bumping, running a receiver on a line of scrimmage. And they bump, they kind of hand fight, and they run down the field, right? Versus lining guys up on the opposite goal lines and running as fast as you can and meeting in this massive collision at midfield. That's where they're moving to, is the bump and run. Okay, they're avoiding the collision. So it's going to be arm bars and fights, and put yourself between the defender and the ball carrier and just kind of push them away and try to create lanes rather than that run full speed down and have bombs blow up at the 20-yard line, and that's where the problems are coming.
I could see getting rid of it to avoid that if it's unavoidable, and this turns it more into a punt. But the conversation about it disappearing entirely, to me, then creates all of these imaginary scenarios that aren't natural football for an onside kick. This 4th and 15 where you're punting, or you could go for it proposal, which is like a created thing, like college football overtime, which I like and enjoy, but it's not football.
Yes, the onside kick is going to be an issue. Will have to be addressed. The new league, the Alliance, my understanding is eliminate the onside kick, but they're going to create, if you want to have an opportunity to possess the ball, put it on the free line, the kickoff line, whatever they decide, 30-35, and it's 4th and 10. So if you convert on a 4th and 10 with your offense against the opposing defense, you keep the ball and go. If you don't, they take possession right there. Similar to the onside kick attempt, because there's possession one way or another in the same vicinity, but you create more offensive plays. And, it's interesting. I mean, the committee's been, in the last 12 to 15 years, its main focus has been on player safety. And this is just another step. Obviously, I was removed from it, but you could see it kind of coming, because even, there were statistics 4, 5, 8 years ago that, we have more concussions. It's the most dangerous playing ball per play on the kickoff itself. And then they were saying, and we have no concussions on touchbacks, so we're just going to move it up and kick the ball out of the end zone. Well, guess what? Started seeing some concussions on the touchbacks, which is just a dead play. And so now they've taken a step further. So we'll see what happens. I can assure you that the special teams coaches in the league, this is probably the start of their vacation. They're not going to get much vacation because they're going to try to figure out what to do.
You mentioned the Alliance. Several of your contemporaries have surfaced as coaches and GMs in the new league. You've been approached?
I have spoke with them. I spent a great deal of time, not a great deal of time, but several days with them, from a consulting perspective. I have great respect for Bill Polian, for Charlie Ubersell, and I really believe in what they're doing. They're going to be successful. They got a lot of work to do between now and the start of their season, which will begin after the Super Bowl, but I really believe it's a great opportunity for coaches, for diversity, for younger players to get the reps. I read recently, you guys may have seen it, Gruden's just flipping the switch out there in Oakland because he doesn't have time to develop quarterbacks. Well, there's no time. There's not enough reps for players nowadays. This will be an opportunity for young players to get some much-needed reps and then maybe have an opportunity to step in the NFL.
Would you be interested in coaching there?
I will consult with them, help with them however I can, but at this point, no.
Should the NFL consider partnering with one of these new leagues?
Well, I don't know.
Openly saying, hey, we're with this group.
Well, that's up to the, I can't speak for the league. But I know what the league's, well, you know, the league, what the league is lacking right now is, you know, is a feeder system for officials and for players. And there's a lot of good players out there that just don't get the opportunity to play. So I think the league would appreciate it and watch with open eyes to see what they do. I don't think that the alliance is going to be an entity where the league's going to say, hey, you know what, why don't you guys check this rule out here for a year, and then and we'll see what the results are, and then, you know, we'll consider whether we want, you know, for like, for example, defensive pass interference, making it a 10-yard penalty versus a spot foul. No, I don't think the Alliance is about doing those things. They want to pave their own roads right now, and I think they're in good hands and really on the right path.
Jeff Fisher with us on the Midday 180. Let's get back to one of the big rules of this offseason is the new helmet rule in the NFL. Players need to know what to do, but coaches also need to understand how to coach it and enforce it from their level. Has that been made clear to everyone?
It has been for years. I mean, it's always been see what you hit, keep your head up, and then you know, when the league introduced the concept of the defenseless player, the receiver or the running back, when does he become defenseless, when is he a runner, and so on and so forth. I mean, the defensive players know that, but some of these things are unavoidable. I mean, you know, you're lowering your shoulder, lowering your target area, and the ball carrier, the receiver, the tender receiver happens to duck to avoid contact, and bang, there's helmet-to-helmet contact. Same thing in the pocket with the quarterback. So you put all the impetus on the defensive player, and hey, sorry, he ducked his head. You hit him in the head. You delivered the blow. It's your fault. Boom, penalty. As far as the inline play, them being able to officiate helmet-to-helmet contact between the tackles or the tight ends, going to be really, really difficult.
And Kevin Carter just told us he feels like it's a way for officials, if they enforce it, to control the game. And at random times, you see a call, it's just going to create more debate, like a pass interference call or stuff like that.
Yeah, I would take a different perspective on that. Not to disagree with Kevin, sure. I get that, but it's just you that stuff's not intentional. You guys haven't been up there. Most people haven't been in the trenches. When you've been there, it's an unusual place. It's like Jurassic Park stuff, you know? I mean, and they have their jobs, and they're highly coached, and they're technical, and, you know, the fundamentals and the techniques are things that win up front. But nobody's, I mean, you don't have the force of the contact, you know, like that they're trying to legislate the helmet stuff. So, if a guard, you know, passes off a defensive lineman and has got to pick up a blitzing linebacker, and he lowers his head and he drives it through the forehead of a linebacker, I could see there maybe being a penalty. But the problem is that there's not enough officials in the vicinity to officiate it, and that would be my perspective.
You were a big proponent of one extra official.
Of the eighth official.
How did it work?
Do it. Well, they didn't put him where they need to put him.
Where's he need to be?
He needs to be right behind the defense where the old umpire was. The college has done that.
The safety thing that they don't put
him
there?
No, you can't. You know, it's too far away. It's too far away. So these are my opinions, and, you know, I know this will get back to the league, but the league said, okay, that guy behind the defensive line standing next to the linebacker, he's getting run over, he's going to get hurt, so we got to get him out of there. Well, what they do, they put him back in there for the end of for 2 minutes at the end of the first half and 5 minutes at the end of the game. They also put him back there once you got inside the 5-yard line. So if he's going to get hurt, don't put him there at all. They put him back there for these specific periods of time. Well, right now, college has gone back to that. They have a more athletic guy. They got a guy that's been trained that's used to doing that. Need to put a guy back over there on that side to clean a lot of stuff going on the line screen.
Pat him up. I'm sympathetic. I wouldn't want to get clocked by Derrick Henry running a route over the middle.
Well, there's you got all kinds of things dealing with that. You got a officials union, if you will, that's saying, nah, what happens to this? You got all kinds of legal issues and things like that. But let's go back to hockey, for example. When did those guys put a helmet on?
Yeah,
there was a time in the game when the hockey officials probably didn't wear helmets.
Yeah, well, the players didn't.
Well, yeah, I know that. Yeah. You played hockey, didn't you?
No.
Oh,
His head just looks like that.
Yeah, okay. It just looks like this. But I would have been like Ron Duguay with my free-flowing hair outside the helmet. That's important to me.
But see, I think there's other ways to do it. And, you know, hopefully there'll be football people helping to contribute to these decisions. And it's just not all based on liability and based on unions and political like everything else is nowadays.
We know some of this stuff, we're up against a break, is for auction. Tomorrow night there's an event where there's an auction. You usually are right in the middle of some great golf stuff, and I know some of it may be available on their online auction. Give people a quick hit.
It's really fun. I mean, there's Mike Shanahan has done some great things here. He's offered golf at a couple places where he would, you know, he would chaperone and attend and play with at two different places. And so these are kind of surprise things that come up, so I can't kind of tip my hat on it. But there's going to be some good things tomorrow night at the auctions.
Hit them straight. See you out there.
We'll do so. Appreciate the visit. Good to see you guys. Thanks.